Two Broke Chicks is recorded on Gadigal land of the Eora Nation. We acknowledge Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the traditional custodians of our land. Always was, always will be. Today's episode of Two Broke Chicks is presented by Shopback, aka our besties at the checkout.
Anything that rewards us for doing basically nothing, I am down for.
Yep. Which is why we love Shopback, because you can pick up cashback just by shopping at any of the 4,000 partnered brands, including heaps of our faves like The Iconic, Sephora, David Jones, and Saks. Just to name a few, I could go on.
She could. She could go on. But keep listening to find out how you can get more bang for your buck with Shopback, plus an exclusive code to get yourself a gorgeous little sign-up bonus.
Mm-hmm. Hey, chicks, I'm Sal.
And I'm Al.
And this is Two Broke Chicks, the show that shares life lessons because we're broke in funds but rich in life. And summer's over. I'm sad to say.
Fuck.
Sorry, Al.
Fuck.
I know.
My seasonal depression's at the door being like, hello.
Knock, knock.
Oh, we had a good run.
We
summer
did.
Summer loving. Happy and blessed.
That sounds good.
Yeah, but Sal's happy.
Yeah.
She's a freak and she loves winter.
I do. I love the cold weather, and we are going into autumn and winter, which means that a lot of us are going to be updating our wardrobes and investing in like some warmer clothing pieces.
And can I just say, even though I love summer, winter fashion beats summer fashion any day of the week.
It does.
Like, winter fashion is just top tier fashion, and then summer, you're just too hot to wear anything cool.
Yeah, especially in Australia in like the most humid summer ever that we've had in Sydney, like fashion is out the window.
Yeah, like winter jackets, boots, like the jean combos, the turtlenecks.
Scarves are back in.
Yeah, like I just love it. Like you just have so much more to play with in winter.
Yeah, exactly.
Will I probably end up wearing just a pair of trackies the whole time? Yes. Can I just make a Pinterest board with all the outfits I want to wear? Of course.
That's okay. We vibe that. But because we are going into a new season and a lot of us are going to be making some updates to our wardrobe, we thought we would do a save or splurge on wardrobe essentials, from like basics and leather to shoes and accessories, to share what we think you can save on and what's worth splurging on.
Yeah. These are like the wardrobe essentials if you're always like, I've got nothing to wear.
Yeah.
Because we've all been there on the Menti B, where we're like ripping everything out of our wardrobe and then we look at the floor and we're like, oh God, what have I done?
Yeah. And then you see that one like House of CB dress that you spent $400 on. You're like, why did I buy that instead of like five basic t-shirts that I actually could wear? Yep. So that's a conversation we're having today. But before we get into it, we love to share our product recommendations of the week. So Al, what have you got for me?
Okay, mine's kind of boring, but it's just like a magnetic phone case.
Ooh, I love those, like the MagSafe case.
Yeah, because I've got one of those like car holders that I got as a present, and it's just so easy to just like pop your phone on it when you're driving and then pop your phone off for like if you're using maps or whatever.
Mm.
And I just love it. It's been a real convenience to me and my life.
And then do you also have like the MagSafe charger that's like the little circle thing and you can just
no,
be like,
but I need to get one of those.
You should get one. They're so good.
Also, I got a new bedside table. Love that, because the last one I got was a typical Alex move where I didn't look at the measurements, bought furniture for ants, built the bedside table, and I was like, honestly, this is for a toddler.
Where'd you get them from? The new one?
The new one, I got it from a site called Mocka, M-O-C-K-A. And it's just bigger and it's so much better because I don't actually have to crawl off my bed to put something on my bedside table. It's so nice. I love it.
Love it.
So those are my two.
Gorge. Bonus. Okay, my product recommendation is teas. I'm in my tea era.
You really are.
In 2024.
We're so boring.
Whatever.
Being like bedside tables, MagSafe cases, and tea.
Well, we can't be like Maserati, blah,
true.
Blah.
My new Birkin. My product rec is my Birkin.
Yeah.
We would actually get red for filth, and I would welcome it if that's what happened.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Wherever product recommendationing a fucking Lamborghini, humble us immediately.
Yeah. I mean, but also we'd be in a Lambo, so whatever. Okay, back to my actual product recommendation, which is T2, obviously. I think, a lot of people's go-tos for tea.
Mm.
And these were both gifted to me by one of my best friends, Caroline. And I feel like the two teas that she chose for me is very, like, telling of where she thinks I am in my current mental state. The first one is Quiet Mind, which is perfect for de-stressing throughout the day. And it's like apple, rosehip, elderberry, chamomile, and eucalyptus. So it's a herbal floral tea. It's really delicious. And then the other one is Sleep Tight, which is like a lemon, lavender, and rose tea. And I've been having such good sleeps ever since I've been drinking this every night before bed, because my issue isn't staying asleep, it's always falling asleep.
Mm.
And yeah, I feel like it's just been a nice little ritual that I've been like making my tea, and then I sit down and I fill out my Rich in Life journal every night, and yeah, just really romanticizing that process. But yeah, they're like $18 for a pack of 25, so. All right. Let's get into our save or splurge.
Let's do it.
Shall we?
So if you feel like you have nothing to wear, you're probably shopping wrong.
Mm.
If you're like, I have no clothes, I've got nothing to wear, you're actually shopping wrong. Because, and we've done it too. Like, this is not a you thing. This is a collective thing that.
We've all been there.
Yeah, we've all been there. Because when we're not shopping with our wardrobe in mind and we're shopping for a singular item in mind, it's when you do actually have nothing to wear because nothing's going together.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was doing research for this episode, and this is definitely a hot topic at the moment as well, and it's about your color scheme, right?
Yeah.
So now once I've kind of learned how to shop for my wardrobe, if you open my wardrobe, you can very clearly see a color scheme. That was also a little bit of an accident.
Mm.
And it just came about looking at the colors that I like on me. I don't necessarily think you need to pay to go get one of those like color assessments of like, are you a cool autumn or warm spring?
I kind of want to get one.
I want to get one too, but I don't want to give the recommendation of go spend $300 to find out what colors look nice on you. Like, I can look at a photo and be like, yeah, yellow, not my vibe.
Yeah.
But like a green, I love a green on me. Like, yeah. It just always looks, I look brighter, like within my skin.
Yeah.
And I just feel nice in that color. I think as well, don't overthink like, oh, what's my undertone and what's this, that, blah. Like whenever I wear red, I feel really sexy. Yeah. I don't know if that's like my color, the but vibe. I feel sexy. So finding the color scheme that you really want to encapsulate within your wardrobe is going to make shopping really easier and going to like determine whether you want to save or splurge or even buy an item in the long run,
mm-hmm.
because it will really help. And because, yeah, if you look at my wardrobe now, it's like black, white, denim, red, green, brown.
Yeah.
That's it.
And those colors can all like basically be like complemented with each other as well, which is really good.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing with capsule wardrobes. There's definitely some items that were like, yes, this is you should have this in your wardrobe.
Yeah.
But as we've said before, a capsule wardrobe is whatever you want it to be. Like if you love patterns, sure, do that. Like, again, there's no rules to fashion.
Yeah. Like a capsule wardrobe doesn't have to be like a pair of blue denim jeans, a white t-shirt and a blazer.
Yeah.
Like if that's your vibe, great. If yours is like to have all of the clashing patterns, that's your capsule wardrobe. Yeah. It's what like works for you.
Yeah. And there are people that would be like, I don't like having a color scheme because I like to wear all the colors of the rainbow, and that's so fine. But if you feel like you have nothing to wear, then we need to kind of start back at the basics.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this isn't being like, no, you can't buy any fun clothes. Definitely. Yeah. But if you're constantly being like, all I have is statement pieces or I don't know how to match these, then we need to start from the bottom and then now we hear your vibe. You know what I mean? And so the other thing that I wanted to share was a hack to stop impulse shopping that I saw and how to weigh up whether or not you really want an item. And it was to make the item you want to buy your wallpaper. Because the amount of times you pick up your phone is some stat of like 172,000 times a day, right? Yeah. That if you're constantly picking up your phone and seeing this item, eventually you're either going to be like, I want this so bad, I'm going to buy it, or it'll remind you to save for it so you won't be spending like $70 on like spicy marks, which is also a fun time. But you'll be like, no, I really want to save up for this dress or whatever it is. Or you'll pick up your phone so many times, you'll see it, you'll get sick of it.
Yeah.
Because it's like approximated that we wear an item 10 times before it gets discarded. 10 times. So if you look at this item and within a couple days you're already sick of it on your phone, you know that you don't want to buy it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're not going to wear it once you get it.
Because we are all constantly scared of being Lizzie McGuire, you're an outfit repeater.
Yeah.
And it's just silly. Like, the fact that we could spend, you know, hundreds of dollars on a piece of clothing and potentially discard it after 10 wears is not only bad for the environment, but also bad for your wallet and bad for your self-esteem.
Yeah. And it's just a waste of time.
Yeah. So we're going to run through the wardrobe essentials that we think are essentials and whether or not you should save. And in terms of save, we mean like you don't need to spend a lot of money on this.
Yeah.
Or splurge on a little bit more of an expensive or higher quality piece. And yeah, that's it. Our first save is basics.
Yeah.
You do not need to be spending a lot of basics, especially whites, because these are going to get dirty. These are going to get stained.
Like, yeah.
I also don't want you to think that we mean, like, go buy, like, a $2 white shirt from Shein. That's not it, because you can get some really high-quality fabrics in basics without spending a lot of money. So white tanks and T-shirts, these get so much wear and get stained so easily, not even from food, like even just your pits.
Yeah, or makeup around the neck. Like, yeah. It's just going to happen.
Like, they rarely stand the test of time because as well you're going to be washing them so much that they will at some point start to deteriorate. But you can get really good quality T-shirts and singlets and bodysuits for affordable prices. For example, we absolutely adore Uniqlo for basics. Uniqlo is one of the best places you can get basics for. We've said this. We did a save or splurge on like baby tees before.
Mm.
But you can also get really vibey like 100% cotton crew necks for like less than $20. It's $19.90. So it's $20. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, round up.
But they're just so good.
Mm.
And like, I think I've got 6 baby tees from Uniqlo.
Yeah.
And I've got tanks, and they have sales all the time.
Yeah. It's so good. And they have them in like so many different like shapes as well and colors and everything that I feel like you can build up like that capsule of the tees and tanks and stuff that you actually will wear in your everyday wardrobe. I can put my hand up and say I have spent over $150 on a plain white t-shirt before because I thought that buying something like that because it was a piece that I was going to wear over and over again was a good investment. It was the fucking dumbest thing I've ever
done.
Where
from?
It was from The Lair. So it's beautifully made.
Yeah.
I will say the quality probably felt more luxe, but I got spaghetti on it. I think the third time I wore it, and it was the fucking dumbest thing I've ever done. Whereas Uniqlo still feels beautiful, amazing, and it's so much more affordable.
Mm.
Like, that's just one example.
I think definitely having basics in your wardrobe is going to make dressing a lot easier because this is like, if we put like fashion to makeup, basics are like your foundation or like your base makeup, right? And then your eyes and your lips are where you can kind of play around with.
Yeah.
So think about basics as the foundation and your base makeup. This is kind of going to be like the same routine every time or the same foundation of your outfit. And then when we get to your eye makeup, that could be, you know, the jacket you wear or a corset over the top or boots or sunglasses or jewelry. Like, think of makeup and fashion as kind of the same routine with this, and basics are your foundation.
Cute. I love that.
Thank you. It just popped into my head.
Mart. Okay. Our first splurge, shoes.
Ooh.
Boots, sneakers, slides, whatever. I think it's so important to splurge on shoes because you actually need something that is really supportive for your feet.
1,000%. And you are going to be walking. Like, these are a utility item.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that actually needs to work and wear because they're going to wear down as well. Like, I've spent money on like a cheaper version of a shoe, and not only does it hurt, like my feet hurt, I've also spent money on expensive shoes. And they have sometimes hurt.
Yeah.
So that's not always the test of time, whether a shoe is expensive. You need to look at like the make of it, the quality, and make sure you're trying it on. The amount of times I've bought shoes online from a brand that I haven't worn before and been like, what have I done? Because it was so painful. And like, yes, I could return it, but also sometimes I'm a lazy sack of shit.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh no. Or I don't realize until I wear them.
Yeah, you've already worn them out.
And I've worn them out. And then I'm like, well, great. Because that's most of the time when you're going to learn a shoe isn't for you. It's not when you try it on at home. It's when you're like 3 hours into the wedding and you're like, oh my God, I think I've got stubs.
Yeah, literally.
Like I have stumped
I've
for legs.
I've revealed the bone.
Yes.
Yeah, and we're not saying like go out and splurge on every colorway of the Adidas Sambas or whatever sneaker is trending.
I love
at
them,
the time.
But like just pick one.
Yeah, and again, like pick one in a colorway that's going to work with the rest of your wardrobe. But what we do mean is splurge on a pair that are actually going to be like your ride or die shoes that you're probably going to wear every single day.
Yeah.
And I feel like most of us have like maybe three pairs of shoes.
Like I want a pair of Sambas. Like our producer Sarah was wearing hers this morning and I was like, love
them. Yeah,
she looks
so cute, the whole fit.
But I don't know what color I want yet, right? Mm. Like I don't know if I want to play with a color or if I want to go with more of a neutral tone because I'm going to get more wear out of the neutral tone.
Mm.
But is the color just the trend at the moment? Like that's, and I've been sitting with it for a while and that's the thing is with the splurges, you want to sit with it. Like don't have a knee-jerk reaction of seeing like a really cute pic on Pinterest and be like, that's the one. But some people, it's like a hobby as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So take it with a grain of salt. This is also all our opinions.
Yeah.
Of course. But, you know, we feel like this is a pretty good baseline to go off for the average bear.
Yeah. But that's as well, like, for example, Sal and I love cowboy boots.
Yeah.
Like, Sal has like three colors in cowboy boots.
Five or six.
That's double what I said. Yep. I've got like three colorways of cowboy boots, but I wear all of them.
Yeah.
So in saying that, if you want to get multiple colors in something because you do wear it all the time, that's fine. But if you like, it's about knowing yourself.
Exactly.
And knowing what you're going to wear.
Yeah.
But definitely I would say if you are within the means, like save up and splurge on a good pair of boots because those are going to last you season after season. Whereas if you kind of go with the save option, they might end up falling apart after like one winter.
They always do, especially boots.
Yeah. Like the bottom of them will like crack off and you're like, cool.
Yeah.
Or your cat will eat them because apparently she's a dog. That was me. Okay. Our next save is designer items. Mm-hmm. I know this might be ruffling some feathers and this is a personal preference because we know people who absolutely love their designer handbags and their designer pieces, so I'm totally not shitting on that. However, as I have mentioned, I really regret buying a designer bag. Like, I just think it was a very unnecessary purchase for the amount that it was and the amount of times that I use it. Like, I really just don't think I'm going to get that cost per wear for years. And I also don't like using it because I don't want anything to happen to it because it was so expensive that I'm scared it's going to get stolen or a drink's going to get spilled on it.
Yeah.
And I also think a lot of designer items are very trend-based. And then what happens is everyone gets them and you've spent all this money to have an item that a lot of other people have, which doesn't bother some people, but I like, you know, having unique pieces. And there's this massive boom, but then sometimes these designer items are cringe.
Yeah.
So case study from us and no one else, the Gucci Marmont belt.
Yeah.
The Gucci Marmont belt was like the it belt years ago and everyone wanted one. I remember asking for one for Christmas and my mum was like, actually go touch some grass.
Yeah, rein your neck in.
Yeah, she was like, get wrecked. You're not getting a $400 belt. And I was like, okay. Now I'm like, thank fuck for that. Because then it became like a bit cringe, a bit choogy, if we're going to still throw out that term.
As the kids say.
I hate that term. It's so weird.
Get fucked.
And like, that's the thing. We know people that have the Gucci Marmont belt and they're like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I still love it, which is perfect. But I also know some people that were like, I really regret buying it.
Mm.
So it's just like really trying to not get wrapped up in the trend of a designer item that's going by, like the Dior saddlebag, the Gucci Marmont belt, whatever other designer items there are.
Yeah, like
I'm
the
Jacquemus,
like micro bag.
Yeah, they all just like, or that Prada like nylon bag.
Yeah.
They all just like go up and they go really ham. And then, and do you know what? It's just fucking consumerism as well because it's like, this is unattainable. This is why you want it. This shows people you're rich. And then when people save up and a lot of people have it, it stops being rich.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, now like
if everyone
can get it, it's not,
it's not
which
cool
is just
anymore.
Silly. Which is just why I don't really like designer stuff that much. Like definitely I'm sure there might be some things that I spend a lot of money on. Maybe like I'll get really fancy ones for a wedding.
Mm, or maybe you'll find a piece that's really unique that you just love.
The where I would make an exception is like vintage designer.
Yeah, I agree.
Like if it was like a vintage designer piece that I was like, holy shit, you can't get this.
Yeah.
Like really well-roundedly.
Yeah.
And was like my absolute dream and it was just really cool. Then yeah, sure. But that's probably also going to be discounted, so.
Yeah, and also who knows, like maybe we just can't afford it, so we don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Everyone can change their mind, but where I am right now in my life, I just would not splurge on designer items personally.
Wouldn't recommend. So if you've followed us for a while, you would know that we are huge fans of ShopBack. And while lots of you chicks are already raking in your cash back, a few of you still slide into our DMs with questions asking exactly how ShopBack works.
So it's actually super simple. When you shop at your favorite brands through the ShopBack site or using the app, you'll earn cash back.
And if you're wondering what the catch is, there isn't really one at all. When ShopBack drives traffic to their partners' brands, the brands pay them and then ShopBack pays you. That's it.
Okay, so I do think your splurge should be your everyday handbag. And I think the splurge with the amount here is completely up to you because people know how much they're going to use the handbag. But if you're looking for like a work handbag, handbag.
You sound like you're from New Zealand.
I just think getting whether it's a vegan leather or a real leather one is going to just make your life so much easier rather than having like, you know, 10,000 bags. I do love like handbags as an accessory, but I think the everyday bag that's going to be like your ride or die that has your entire life in it is like the splurge. And I think there's a spectrum in this as well. Like I think splurging on like a $300 leather one is going to bring the value when you're using it every day. But also, not everyone has $300 to splurge on a leather handbag.
Yeah.
That you could spend $90 on like a vegan leather handbag and still get really good quality for that.
Yeah.
Like we just worked with a brand called Lou and Hyde, and the everyday bag that I've been using from them has been amazing.
Mm.
And I really love that. But I also love my The Lair bag, which was $300. So yeah, it's a spectrum again.
You like, can find something in the middle that works for you.
But I think just getting that massive sack of like a leather bag is just the best.
Like a leather tote almost.
Yeah,
it's a game changer.
Also, all my tote bags, like the canvas tote bags that I was using as an everyday bag, they are so dirty.
Mm, you put them in the wash.
I know, but I don't.
Oh, I chuck them in.
Yeah, but they just like...
Yeah.
And then whenever I actually use like the nice handbag that I bought, I'm like, oh, this is nice.
They also give you zero fucking support on your shoulders and back. And I've had so many break because they're just not like, they're not durable enough. They're not made for that. They're made for like carrying books.
Yeah. Not like groceries.
Yeah. Not your Frank Green and your laptop and your whole life. All right. Our next save is leather.
Mm-hmm.
So leather is expensive, so you're probably like, what are you talking about? Save on leather. What I mean is always shop vintage and not brand new leather. So I currently have 8 leather jackets in my closet. I counted last night. These are leather jackets that I've literally collected, I would say, over the last 13 years, and all of them are vintage. Leather is like a more durable material and it lasts longer. And if anything, I feel like leather looks cooler as it ages and is more worn in and gets a little bit softer and is a bit more comfortable. So I feel like it is something that you can buy vintage and you don't have to worry about like the quality of it, for example, because it's going to last. It doesn't really matter how old it is. For fun, I searched leather jacket on Depop last night and found 10 listings under $50 on the first page alone for authentic vintage leather jackets.
So good.
In all different shapes and sizes, like blazers, bomber jackets, motorcycle, like there's so much range, different colors. On the Iconic, for example, I searched leather jacket and made sure I was filtering by real leather, not vegan leather. And I couldn't find a new leather jacket under $500. In fact, when I was even looking at the vegan leather options on there, I couldn't find any that were under $100. So I just feel like leather is something that is typically very expensive to buy, but if you're buying it vintage, you can get it at such a cheaper price. I'm also a vegetarian, so I'm also like, you know, for a long time I was like, should I even wear leather? Like, you know, that's very contradictory. But I feel like buying it secondhand as well also makes me feel better that it's a little bit more sustainable and I'm sort of like increasing the longevity of that piece.
Mm. I'm the same. I think all of my, I would say 90% of my leather pieces are secondhand.
Yeah.
You've got one or two that aren't.
Yeah.
But I think those are vegan leather anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. On that note, the next one is kind of a splurge, but kind of a save. And it's blazers. Specifically, oversized blazers. I literally was born with a blazer on, lived with a blazer on, and will die with a blazer on. Like, yeah. I just find them the easiest piece to have in my wardrobe. Whenever I'm like, I don't know what to wear, it's a simple top, pants, and I just chuck on one of my oversized blazers. I think you've seen me wear maybe like 72 on this podcast at this point.
Yeah.
Now, with blazers, I don't think you want to like go for the cheaper version because with blazers, especially oversized blazers, you want structure.
Yeah.
You don't want it to be kind of like flopping or falling on your body because it's going to look cheap and it's going to look weird. Whereas when you kind of splurge a little bit more on a blazer that is a bit more expensive, you're going to get structure and you're going to just look more elevated in your outfits. That you can wear these to work, you can wear these over a slip dress and just go out on the toon, whatever you want, and you're going to have the lining, right? The save here is to buy men's fashion. Men's blazers, men's jackets, even leather ones, are just made with so much better structure that you can really get affordable ones again on Depop. So this blazer that I'm wearing right now, there's always at least one comment being like, where's the blazer from? And I feel like an asshole because I'm like, it's the gray one if you're listening to this. It's like the gray, kind of greeny one that's really oversized. It was on Depop. It's a men's blazer and I got it for $20.
Yeah.
And it's like made of wool and silk, I think, on the lining on the inside. And
yeah,
it was $20. And it's the best. I've worn it so many times
yeah.
that I'm so much more happier than if I spent like $300 on a brand new women's blazer.
Yeah.
Which a lot of the time I don't feel like women's blazers have the structure that I like because I like them to be a bit boxy.
Yeah.
And so that would be my tip is if you want to save on fashion but you want it to kind of be like a bit elevated and get those basics, buy men's T-shirts, buy men's blazers, buy men's jumpers
yeah.
and like wool jumpers and cardigans because they're just, I don't know. I'm like, why? Why
yeah,
do they get
fair.
It?
It's not fair. They get it all.
I'm like, where? And it's also, honestly cheaper.
Yeah.
Like men's fashion is made cheaper. I think Sal did a study once and it was like the same item, but when it was in the women's section on a site, it was more expensive than when it was on the men's section of the site, which is just thick.
Yeah. Okay. Our last save, sunglasses. So unless the expense is coming from getting a prescription put into your sunglasses, it is not worth spending a lot of money on your sunnies. Not only are sunglasses like a very fragile item that a lot of us will lose or break or they're easily damaged.
I lose sunglasses all the time.
But also a lot of the time you're literally just paying for the logo on the side and getting a hard case versus a soft case. For example, last night I was comparing some sunglasses on Just Sunnies and I was looking at a designer pair versus a more affordable pair. The designer pair were over $450 and the more affordable pair were under $70. Looking at both of the specs of these sunglasses, they are both plastic. They both have non-polarized lenses. And they both also have category 3 lenses, which offer a high level of sun glare reduction and UV protection, and is basically the highest category lens that you can get to wear like during the day and during driving. The category 4 is sort of like another level above that. But basically what I'm saying is that between these two sunglasses, the features are basically the same. One of them had a hard case and the other one had a soft sort of canvas case. But the difference, I guess, that you're paying for is the brand logo. And if you really want a designer pair of sunnies, and that's always been on your vision board and your wish list, definitely splurge. If you don't really care and you sort of just want a pair of sunglasses to protect your eyes against the sun, then maybe go for the more affordable pair. So, yeah, I just don't think, unless sunglasses are your thing, or again, you need a prescription and that's what you're paying for, you don't necessarily have to spend a lot of money on your sunnies, I don't think.
Yeah. All right, time for advice with the chicks. Mm-hmm. Do you want to read this one out, Sal?
Yep. Hi, girlies. After graduating high school and moving out of home, I've been living and working on a resort.
Oh, my God, fun.
That sounds cool. I've been here for 6 months now and I'm planning on moving to the UK in August. I need to be saving. However, hours have been cut back a lot since the holiday season is over. I'm planning on moving back home for 5 months before I go so I can live rent-free, etc., and get my old job back. But I'm from a small town and I've realised my friends back home are very immature and not the greatest friends. Will I be taking a step back by going home, and how should I navigate being back in my toxic high school friendships?
Yow.
I don't think that you'll be taking a step back if you move home, because if you're moving back home so that you can give yourself a leg up for the future that you want, I think that's just a compromise that you're making and a very responsible choice. I don't think that's a step back at all.
Mm.
And I think if your friends are immature and you don't really feel like you align with them anymore after graduating from school, I think you can maybe keep your distance from them.
Outgrowing friendships is a part of life.
Yeah.
There's a saying that says if you're not losing friends, you're not growing up. And I do think there is an element of truth to that. I don't think you need to cut off everyone you know because to be like, oh, my God, I'm not evolving, I'm not growing up. That's not what it means. But outgrowing friendships, one, is really hard. Like, it's a really hard realization to kind of look around the room and feel like you don't belong or align with these people anymore. But it's natural. Like, that is very natural. It's very common and it will happen at some point in time in your life, whether it's friendships, family, partners. You will outgrow at least one relationship. Like, let's be honest. That I think it's okay to potentially move back and not fall into that like completely again. Like, I think you can move back and potentially have boundaries that you're not going to be stepping into a toxic pool of friendships again, and really focusing on maybe expanding friendships outside of this toxic high school friendships, because high school friendships are not the be-all and end-all and are not the friendships that you need or will have for the rest of your life. Like, making friends as an adult is going to be a really, really beneficial thing that you can do. And if you're already worrying about this, then it's probably something to focus on in expanding your circle. And the other thing is maybe they've grown up too. Like, I don't know if you've been in contact with them and they're still like this, so that's how you know that. But if you haven't seen them, maybe potentially they've done a bit of growing up as well, and maybe they're a bit different. So you could be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, you could give them the benefit of the doubt and go for a dinner. And then if you feel like they haven't changed, or, you know, you've just grown apart, then, yeah, you can set up some boundaries and have some distance. That's, like, so normal.
Agreed.
But congrats, chick. Sounds like you're doing some amazing things. All right. Well, that is a wrap on another episode of Two Broke Chicks. Thanks to Shopback for making today's episode happen. If you haven't already, sign up to Shopback at the link in our show notes, and you can use our code Two Broke Chicks to get a $20 sign-up bonus.
And thank you to you, chicks, for having us in your ear holes. We absolutely love to be here. If you know anyone that you think would enjoy this episode, feel free to chuck them a link or chuck it in the group chat.
Mm-hmm. And thanks to MRK Made for making today's episode possible. Woo-hoo. See you next time, chicks.
Bye, chicks.
Bye-bye.